Not that I let my mom produce the radio show, but she does insist that I chat with Matt Eisman about American Ninja Warrior every summer, so mom is getting her way this time, maybe just because her birthday was on Monday, but there you go. We've got Matt Eisman joining us on the line. Hey, Matt.
Well, I think I have to start it now with happy birthday, Mom.
Okay. Well, yes.
Thanks for being my press agent. That's fantastic.
Well, yeah, I think that she's obsessed with the show. It's something that my parents watch at the lake in the summer, so there you go. So she is tuned in. I know that for sure.
I love it.
Okay, well, you know, the competition is heating up again, and then there's the LA finals that are happening, and then Atlanta finals are the week after that. And I have to ask, after all these years, are people upping their game? Like, we're seeing these home videos of people setting up a course, basically, at their house.
It has gotten, it's crazy to look at the growth of our athletes, the preparation, the skills, and even the ones who've been with us from the beginning, guys like Ryan Stratus or David Campbell, how much better they've gotten. So when people, if you go back and look at our early seasons and see it right now, it wouldn't even challenge these athletes. They would be getting through it. We'd have ridiculous success rates because they come in so much better prepared. They have obstacles in their backyard. They have them in gyms. And they're spending, you know, some of them are training 5 days a week. So the athletes come in much better prepared. Even rookies. It used to be the wall was a challenging obstacle. Now, in a given year, a handful of people who make it there won't make it up. It's become something like easier than a free throw in basketball.
And I guess, well, that's the one thing, right, is that the creators of the courses on the show are also having to up their game as well, right? Because you can't have it so that everybody finishes.
Yeah, it's really interesting to come up with obstacles, designing these obstacles to challenge people who are 4'10" to 6'7", people who weigh 90 pounds to people who weigh 250 pounds, and you know, people 19 up to 77, that they all might have a shot on these obstacles. And it really is an art to designing them. And what's been great is we started with an obstacle design challenge a few seasons ago, and since then, some of our best obstacles have come from our viewers. And we had, you know, the double dipper in Las Vegas, where people go for a ride on stage one. It's become one of our most popular, most challenging obstacles. It was designed by an 11-year-old girl with crayons. And so I love where people can participate in this show in so many different ways and contribute and come up with these insane obstacle challenges.
What's the most challenging one, in your opinion, this season?
I think it varies based on your skills. When I look at something like the Ultimate Cliffhanger, anything with grip strength, crank it up where you're having to ratchet up those handles, for me, I know how hard that would be. Now, for some of the other ninjas, not quite as much of a challenge. We have some insanely hard obstacles, particularly once we start, as we are giving on Monday, when we get to the city finals courses. The difficulty really ratchets up. So I think we're going to see something, particularly in, not to give too much away, but when Baltimore comes, I think you'll see one of the most challenging obstacles we've ever had.
Okay. Leaps of faith, easier said than done?
Oh, it is. It really is much easier said. They're always easier said than done.
Trick question.
To watch, just to see these people have to do it, and an obstacle, if you watch it, you see it's challenging, but that obstacle is number 9 in Las Vegas out of 10 obstacles. So they've gone through 8 obstacles at that point in the middle of the night. They're absolutely fatigued, and the grip strength is pumped out. And this one, it's little fingertip holds, and the final grab, the final transition on this one, you have to grab the handles on a blind grab. The handles are facing away from you. You can't see where you're putting your hands. And it's something that is so challenging, so insanely hard, and to watch these athletes attack it is so much fun. And we have no idea who's going to do it, who's going to get through. That's one of the great things, I think, that keeps Akbar and me always on the edge of our seat, is every run, it can end in an instant. Someone can trip up on a balance obstacle on the very first obstacle. We've seen it happen. Or you can have a run these people will never forget, where they do something truly remarkable. And I think that's one of the great things, is how predictable this show is.
Well, that, you know, you talk about edge of your seat. Don't you guys stand the whole time? So you don't even have seats.
That is a fair point. I didn't mean it metaphorically, but you're 100% right. We're standing, but But, you know, we stand for 8 hours a night, and we're calling hundreds of runs, or, you know, 100 runs on the first night and, mm-hmm. and 30-plus runs on the second night. We really do. Our energy, you know, no matter how tired you are, as soon as someone gets on the course, we're riveted because it really is so unpredictable and so challenging. And we love it. One of the greatest things is when you see someone do something that surprises even them. And I think back to Michael Stanger in season 7 when he hit a buzzer and had no idea he was able to do it. Or Brian Burke, the Burkinator in L.A. in the first episode, when that guy got up on top of the buzzer and he's riding the pony and then he's yeah. doing the split. And just the pure joy at having accomplished it was awesome and infectious.
Even just that celebration is easier said than done too, right?
Oh my God, when I watched him do the splits, I thought, I used to be able to do that, but no more.
I pulled my groin just watching. I didn't even move in it. I felt it.
It really is one of the things where you think, I don't want to attempt this. Because it will break me.
It's fun just watching from a distance. I don't need to get right in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Power Tower, that's new this season. So the two fastest finishers, right?
Yeah, so it was great. You know, we saw in qualifying where they would compete. And if you won, you'd get the speed pass where you'd be guaranteed a spot in Vegas. But what's really interesting is starting in the city finals, now they're competing for the safety pass. And this is something where for the first time ever in Vegas, if somebody falls on stage one or stage two and they have a safety pass, they'll get a do-over. And this is monumental because so often a ninja will stumble and fall or fall on an obstacle, and you'll see it in their face where they're just going, if I could do that again, I know I could get through it. Well, for the first time ever, if you're good enough, if you're fast enough, if you earn that right, you could get another shot. And, you know, this is something in looking back, I think we've had people fall, particularly stage one, where had they had another shot, maybe they end up winning. Maybe they end up with $1 million. So what you're going to see in the city finals is people competing for a chance that could mean the difference between your season being over and winning $1 million. So I think it really heightens, you know, the stakes are insane, and it's fun because only people are going to go into Vegas with that power. Six people. But for them, it's going to be an earned privilege, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out because we have no idea how it's going to work.
And for the Atlanta round, let's fast forward to Atlanta. Up for grabs, that's something new this year.
Yeah, it's. I love the way we come up with these obstacles and the name. But when you see people trying to get through them, I think the name, you know, up for grabs is great because it really is. It just kind of sums up the unpredictability of how these athletes will fare on these things. And I love watching in Atlanta. We have some phenomenal performances, as we do in L.A. And what's really cool is now that we're in season 11, we have so many new athletes who come out and surprise us, but I love seeing some of the veterans come back, you know, whether it's guys like Ryan Stratus, Jesse Graff, Flex Lebrecht, who we just saw hit a buzzer in Cincinnati qualifying last week. I love seeing them come out and seeing the fans respond to them and seeing these athletes kind of build a following and have people really get to know them and get to know how much this means for them.
This really is one of those shows where you are rooting for almost everybody. And so, you know, there's some of those game shows that where, you know, the contestants are just so cocky and obnoxious that you just want them to lose. This is totally different. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, they're just...
Oh, 100%. Yeah. No, it really is awesome, I think, in that... And that was something that the competitors taught us. The ninjas taught us the sense of camaraderie and this spirit of you're not competing against each other. You're competing against yourself to be better than you were. And as long as you're doing that, it doesn't matter what anyone else does. And seeing them cheer for people, even if it means it could end their season, it is unique among not just shows on TV, but I think sports. You just don't see it that often to have that spirit of, hey, we're all in this together, and we're all elevating each other. And I think because of that, we've seen so many people get involved. We're about to start taping the kids' version for season 2, and seeing these kids come in and embrace that spirit. And I think for kids who maybe don't like traditional sports, or it's just not their skill set or their disposition, to find something like Ninja Warrior where, you know, everybody's welcome, whether you're the best or whether you're just starting out, you're all treated the same. And I think it really is amazing to see that spirit and see how I think right now people really appreciate that.
So we're going to be watching. It's Monday nights on NBC. Matt, we've got about like a minute and a half left. You know what we're going to do right now? We're going to surprise my mom. We're going to call my mom and wish her happy birthday.
Oh, I love it.
I'm going to try it. I haven't planned this, so I don't know if they're going to answer or not, but let's try it, see if we can get mom on the phone here. So we'll just dial here. So again, Monday nights, NBC, American Ninja Warrior. Let's see if we can get mom.
Check it out, folks.
All right, it's ringing here.
Hello?
Hello, mom.
Yes?
We had a celebration the other day. What was that for?
I don't know.
We had a celebration. What were we celebrating?
Somebody's birthday, I think.
It was your birthday. And one of the shows that you like to watch in the summer is American Ninja Warrior, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt Eisman is on the phone right now. He wants to tell you something.
Okay.
I'm Bradley. It's Matt Eisman, host of American Ninja Warrior, and I want to say happy birthday, because today you are an American Ninja Warrior.
There we go.
Oh, all right. Thank you. I can't thank you enough,
not only for watching the show, but for convincing your son to have me on to be able to talk
about it. Okay, then.
Well, there we
awesome.
Go. All right. Well, thanks,
all
Mom.
Right. Well, thank you very
thanks,
much.
Mama.
All right. Talk to you soon, Mom. Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Well, there we go. Well, no, thank you, Matt. That was fun. Oh, boy. See, you know, we've done it a couple of times where I'll just randomly have a celebrity on the phone. It's like, you know what, let's call my mom. So I think she almost expects it now. So,
oh, I love it.
All right. So again, Monday nights, NBC, Matt Eisman, always great chatting with you. Thanks for joining us.
Jeremy, thanks, buddy.